General Meetings, Des Moines, May 1969. Address by Ralph Rule.
Commence our meeting by singing together hymn number 42 in the appendix. 42 in the back of the book. Savior, lead us by thy power, safe into the promised rest. Choose the path, the way whatever seems to thee, O Lord, the best. Be our guide in every peril, watch and keep us night and day. Else our foolish hearts will wander from the straight and narrow way. 42 in the appendix. Savior, lead us by thy power, straight into the promised rest. Choose the path, the way, whatever seems to be the Lord's best. Be our guide in every peril, watch and keep us night and day. Else our foolish hearts will wander from the straight and narrow way. We turn together to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. What I had before me especially is what we get in the third verse. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk a little bit about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But we might read a few other verses to begin with. Let's read the first 5 verses of this chapter. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive also for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Well, as I mentioned, especially had the thought of one being a good soldier. I wonder how many the Lord would have as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We hear of a certain number being called to be soldiers over in Vietnam. I heard somewhere approximately how many they was to be called one of the last few months. A specific number was given. Well, the apostle here is referring not to that type of warfare, not a soldier of the United States Army, but a soldier of Jesus Christ. How many soldiers do you suppose he would have enlisted, as it were, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Well, my own thought is, I've never heard this expressed, my own thought is that everyone that's a Christian, everyone that belongs to Christ, I think the Lord would have as a soldier. There's far less than 1% of the United States citizens that are soldiers in Vietnam or are soldiers of the United States at this time. But I do believe that the Lord would have every true believer to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, you might say, but here he's writing to Timothy. What makes you think he would have everyone to be a good soldier? Every Christian, that is. You can't be a soldier of Jesus Christ if you're not a Christian. And if there are any in this room this afternoon that don't yet know the Lord as their Savior, oh, may God give you to feel your need and to trust in Him as your Savior. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you're a slave of the devil. But the Lord delights to have all come to Him and to trust in Him, to believe on Him. And everyone that believes in Him learns that they're saved, their sins are forgiven. They're one of God's children, and it's their privilege then to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, as I said, you might say, well, this was addressed to one man, Timothy. That's right. But if we were to turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, we won't take the time, but if we were, we would find that Ephesians wasn't addressed to an individual at all. We have truth in Ephesians that's for all of the Lord's people. In the book of Ephesians, we have his own seen as blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And in the end of Ephesians, we have instructions. It says there, in the end of Ephesians, or rather in the last chapter of Ephesians, put on therefore the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in an evil day. It's a soldier that has to have an armor on. And we get quite a bit as to the armor there. And we get something there as to the warfare that the Christian has. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against wicked, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against wicked spirits in high places or in heavenly places. Yes, our warfare is, as it says there, not against flesh and blood. It isn't talking about any battle such as in Vietnam, but against wicked spirits in heavenly places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan has his emissaries that are affecting what's going on in this world. They're the rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits. And they're what's behind what we see happening in the world today. Our brother, when he closed, the brother that closed the meeting this morning, I noticed in his prayer, he made reference to what we have in the next chapter of Timothy. He referred to the fact that we're living in the last days. Notice the third chapter, our Bibles are open to it. 2 Timothy 3, "This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come." And our brother, when he quoted it, after quoting it the way it is here, he says, "are difficult times." That's what a more accurate translation has. I believe, really, the most accurate translation is just that. "List low, in the last days, difficult times shall come." When it was written, they weren't here, those difficult days. They were future. Dear friends, they're here now, I feel sure. You and I, we're living in the last days. I even feel like saying, I think we're living in the very last days. The difficult times, the difficult days are here. Take the next verse. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the negative side, but take the next verse and just think, as we read this verse, think of what's going on today, the unrest in this country, the things, the turmoil that you see on the college campuses, and sad to say, it's beginning even in the high schools now. The unrest, the turmoil. We mentioned in Ephesians 6, the wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This world is going on in darkness, and it's referring there to the wicked spirits, Satan's emissaries. He's behind what's going on here. And what do we find developing all around us in these days, the last days? Notice that second verse. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and so forth. And ending up in verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Well, take the what you have in that second verse, correlate it to what's going on around us, and isn't there a very direct and full correlation? "Men should be lovers of their own selves." How we see these groups rising up. I could mention some of the, but I'm not going to, some of the groups. But you find they want to take things in their own hand and do things their own way, what they want. We see them covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What blasphemy you find from the lips of some. Disobedient to parents. That's the start of the disobedience, perhaps. But the disobedience that starts at home, we find now it has to do even in connection with, in a broader sense, the powers that be. In the 13th chapter of Romans, it tells us, I'm going to read a verse or two there, just in case if I tried to quote it, I might make a little slip. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." Notice what it says there. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And it says those that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. What is it that's making this turmoil on the college campuses? Why, it's resisting those in authority, the powers that be. It's rising up and wanting to do one's own way. We're gonna have things our own way. I was coming here on the plane the other day, and across from me in the aisle, I think one seat further ahead, here was somebody reading a newspaper, and big headlines on the top. It said something about generation gap. I forget the next words, whether it's getting too big or greatly increasing. Anyway, there was a reference to the generation gap. What's the generation gap they're referring to? Why, we're living in a day. A generation is coming up that it says, and we mentioned Ephesians 6, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan has his emissaries that are coming in and stirring up these things. The Word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. And those that are behind all this, no God. We're going to set things right. We don't want the Bible in the schools anymore. No more prayer in school. God's Word is being set aside. In this last generation, that's been seen in a special way. What's the generation gap? God being set aside. No God. We're going to do things our way. Well, here it says disobedient to parents, but it's gone further. Maybe it started there, this disobedience, but now there's no regard for law and order. But God says the powers that be are ordained of God, and those that Satan has coming in and just causing this turmoil and trying to push everything aside, we're going to do things our way. Oh, my friend, the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what we fight against. The enemy has come in. He would set aside everything that's according to the Word of God. It goes on to say here, after disobedient to parents, unthankful. My, how many there were when I was a youngster that would have loved to have had the chance to go to college. Their parents couldn't afford it. They would have liked to. But today we find the government itself has provided in various ways for many to get this higher education. Are they thankful? Why, you find them going in and tearing down the administration buildings and various things, burning up the files. Oh, dear friend, I tell you, we're in the very last days. And I know there are many of those who are a generation ahead of the younger generation, those that are a little older. I know there are many that are surprised to see that the Lord has left us here this long. We're in the very last days, and we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged in the path that the Lord has for us in these last days, these difficult days. Now I'd like to look at a few scriptures in connection with, as I said, my main thought was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, may God, through His Word, encourage and help each one of us here, and especially the dear young people, since one is supposed to be addressing primarily young people, encourage you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What are the characteristics of a soldier? Well, there are a lot of characteristics. And I might just mention a few of them, but I know I won't get them all. And in various places in the Word, we have different ones brought out. Here in our chapter, several of the characteristics are mentioned. First of all, as it says, he has to endure hardness. Another translation for that is, take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yesterday there was a little discussion, we spoke a little about suffering. Oh yes, you and I may have to suffer a little down here, but we'll never regret it up there. We'll be thankful for any measure in which the Lord has given us the grace to, in some little measure, to suffer with Him or in His interests. And so here he says the good son, thou therefore endure hardness or take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then, so that's one thing. He has to endure some suffering or hardness. Secondly, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Oh, you know, it's a little easy to get too entangled with things down here. As one looks back over his own life, there has been a measure of exercise to keep from being too entangled. But I'm afraid that there were times where one allowed oneself to get just a little too involved with things down here. Oh, may the Lord help us to remember that we are not of this world. He says, ye are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is up there. And may we remember that. Keep it in mind. Because Satan would seek to get us entangled with the affairs of this life. Too entangled. Oh, but the Lord, he encourages Timothy to be a good soldier in order that he might please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who are you trying to please? Yourself? Or are you trying to please him that has chosen you to be a soldier? That's a searching question, isn't it? Can you honestly say, dear young friend, can you honestly say that your desire is to do what is God's will for you? Oh, I hope so, because that's the happy path. That is the happy path. Do you want to be a happy Christian? Then seek to please the Lord. Seek to be one that's truly following him. Like Caleb of old, one who wholly followed the Lord. Well, I ask you again, very searching question. Who are you trying to please? Yourself? Or trying to please him who hath chosen you to be a soldier? Well, there are a lot of other things in connection with a soldier. He has to have be prepared for battle. He needs a uniform. Has to have on, in Ephesians 6, we've already mentioned that. It says there, put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. We have a wily foe. His power was annulled at Calvary. The Lord annulled him that had the power of death, but his wiles, he still is a wily foe. And it's only as we're looking to him, depending on him, that we can be kept as we journey through this scene. Well, I would ask you,